I did want to pray for First Wesleyan. We pray for them a lot. Daniel's closely related to them, and and Ellen and I have a past there somewhat through family and stuff. And so just continue to pray for them. Daniel is preaching right now, or getting ready to, somewhere up in Virginia. I have no idea where. They left yesterday, he and Bex, and are taking a little mini vacation, just two nights. And so pray for Ellen as she has the four, Jordan four. Next week, I have missed y'all. I have missed y'all. And as time goes forward and I miss a Sunday, I miss you more and more. And words cannot tell you how much or the feeling that I feel when I'm not able to be here. And that being said, you know, I missed the last two Sundays. I'm here today, and I'm going to miss next Sunday. And so one out of four Sundays, I can't even play softball in the Baptist softball team. You had to come two Sundays out of four, Larry, to play and show up for visitation once. And so next week, Summer and Brian is going to be sharing with us. I don't know how much you know, but you'll know more next week. They are going on a mission trip down to the Dominican. And just like God, all things fell apart. The flight home, I'm exaggerating. Please forgive me, Summer. The flight home got canceled, and it turned out to be such a blessing, because not only do they get to go to their mission trip, but now they're going to be able to spend a couple, two or three days with the whites and then come home on a different flight. And so God knew that. Isn't that amazing? God knew that when he spoke the world into existence. He knew that was going to happen. Wow. And I'm just so thankful for that. So that being said, Summer and Brian's going to share what's on their heart next week, because Dan and I both will be out. And then in 2 weeks, the 25th, is 2 weeks from now the 25th? Somebody shake their head yes. We're going to take up a love offering for them to help them cover the cost. The whole family's going, Brian, Summer, and the three girls. And it's going to be a wonderful time. And so we want to take up a love offering for them. And then the church, the elders have agreed to match the offering. So your $20 becomes $40. Your $100 becomes $200. And so that'll be 2 weeks, and I will reach out to you through social media and continue to make announcements and talking to people about the special offering in 2 weeks. Sometime in October, and now it's being pushed, so probably the end of October, we are going to have that church cookout. Remember, every year we have a church cookout? Some of y'all shake your head this way, and we have worship over by the lake and stuff like that. It looks like we're going to be able to do that the end of October. And again, we've had baptisms there, and so speak to me if you or anyone in your family would like to be baptized during that time. The water will not be too cold. And what have I missed? What I was thinking this year, Larry, thank you. Sometimes we have had it on Saturday, but I was thinking, let's just meet down there like Sunday at 11, have worship service, and then eat lunch together, and those that want to leave at 1 can leave, and those that want to leave at 3 can leave, and, you know, and we'll clean up as it gets dark and leave. And so so that's what I was thinking. So a race. Miracles do not cease. Last week I did work, and there was a night race, and I have not watched a NASCAR race forever, but you know, I've used it in my sermon illustrations a lot. And the 43, Richard Petty car number 43, won last Sunday night. First time in like 100 years. And so, anyway. Yeah.
I'm not that old.
All right, anybody else? I know it's been a bad week, and I say bad. Bad is relative. I know it's been a challenging week. Storms are being tossed all around us. We're in the middle of a storm. Sometimes we can feel the wind hitting us and the spray hitting us from the storm. But be encouraged that God is on the throne. And God is in control. And we just need to look to Him and say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. You know, I think of Peter getting out of the boat. You know, we talk about his faith of just, well, no, we talk about how he took his eyes off God. He's looking at Jesus. He's walking on the water. It's a miracle. I can't imagine what the other disciples are thinking. They're in the middle of a storm. And then he takes his eyes off Jesus and starts looking at the waves. He starts feeling the wind. He starts hearing the thunder possibly and feeling the spray on his face. And he takes his hands off Jesus and he starts to sink. And he says, basically, Daddy, help. Lord, save me. And of course, he reached out his hand and did immediately. And he would do the same for you. We're still in Galatians. We are nearing the end of Galatians. Yes, ma'am. Don't be sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I just echo that. I've been an instant member of the family. You know, I've seen all, well, some grew up with it, but I mean, like, I've seen what the Lord has done through, you know, Grandma and Grandpa and the time that we've shared over there week after week, month after month, year after year. And it's been painful to watch. Fractures that's been formed because of this hurt, that hurt, you know, nobody can hurt you like your family can hurt you, right? but yeah, I echo what she said, that just pray that some of these fractures can be healed, and it can be.
Amen, absolutely.
Even through the hardest times, so I would echo that in these moments, because we're getting together a lot, like every day.
And people were not, there were certain people that would not come
at the same time.
That's
happening.
So, Lord can do amazing things. Just pray for that.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm new here and I don't say a whole lot, but I don't know if anybody's followed the Marlowe family on social media.
Yeah.
They're a pastor family from North Wilkesboro, and about 2 weeks ago he had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
He was declared legally dead. They filled out the birth certificate. His wife went home and told the death certificate. Excuse me. That's not good. His wife went home and told their kids. 2 days later, they're walking him down the hall to the operation to harvest his organs, and he starts moving.
Yeah.
And they told her, it's nothing. He's still gone. Well, yesterday he's responding to pain and jerking his arms and legs away from needles. So they're still not giving her any hope. The Mayo Clinic won't take him. Nobody will take him. There's no hope. But he's moving his tongue to talk when they read the Bible to him.
Amen.
And they're there 24 hours a day, and if nobody can be in the room, they they've got scripture playing.
Amen.
So, and I didn't know it, but last night she gave an update. She said, this isn't the first miracle we've had. They had 34-week twins born.
Yeah.
That she had to fly to Maryland to have delivered,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't think she'd even make the flight, and that was 3 years ago. So every day he's moving more, but the doctors will not give credit where credit is due.
Amen.
And they still say that he is brain dead, but on the scans he is not.
Right. Amen. Now, I have been tracking that family through Ellen, and Ellen's been tracking it through Rebecca, because we're not on social media. And I love, and I'm being recorded, I do know this. I love that family. I pray for that family, and everything you said is yes and amen. And maybe it was not a slip that you said birth certificate, because it would have been his birth. You know, his last breath here would be his first breath in heaven. And shredded.
A lot of paperwork to do.
Yeah.
He was legally, they said the doctor that was going to harvest the organs tapped her on the shoulder and said, Miss Marlowe, we're going to do the memorial walk down the hall. We're ready. And she said, no, you're not. He's moving.
Yeah.
I will. Amen.
But her voice kills me. That's what I was getting at. Ellen plays me these. She does this Facebook Live every night update, and Ellen plays it for me. And this pastor's wife, I love her. I love her. I love her. But I'm trying to go to sleep, and I hear her, and she's excited, and I'm thinking, you're killing me here, but it's good. It shows you how fleshly I am, but it's good. She's a little bit country, but aren't we all? Picture driving in your car, and today's sermon, I think, is very timely. I think I've been discouraged this week about the sermon. I've rewritten it 4, 5, 6 different times in my head, but I feel like what needs to be said today, and I pray that Lord will help me say it, what He would want to say, needs to be said, and it's very timely for such a time as this. Picture driving in your car, I meant to bring one today, and I could not find it. Robert, by the way, is finishing this week. Ellen and I are flying up to see him in Maine. But Robert's rearview mirror fell off, and so I'm trying to find his rearview mirror to bring it in as a illustration for you guys. But you know what a rearview mirror is. When you look, you're driving, you look in the rearview mirror, what do you see? Say again? Fennec. Okay, that'll work.
The rear.
Where you've been. The past. Exactly right. All of those are correct. Yeah, you're looking in this rearview mirror and you see what is behind you. And you know, life is a lot like this. We look back. We look back at the decisions we've made. We look back at the places we've been. We look back at the roads that we have taken. We look back at the things that we have said and the things that we have done. And they're in our past. And life, like this rearview mirror looking behind you in the car, it is past tense. There are things, there are roads that you've already taken or side roads that you did not take. And you cannot change what's in the rearview mirror. It is in your past. Finn is in your past. Not really, but he was introduced to you in the past. You can't change those decisions that you've made in the rearview mirror. You can't change the roads taken or the roads not taken. In your life, you can't change the words you've spoken. Remember the toothpaste illustration that words are like toothpaste. Once you squeeze them out, the toothpaste will never go back into the tube. This is a positive message, I promise you. Sometimes I look in the rearview mirror, and so do you, and I look at it one of two ways. I either look at it with gratitude. Lord, I just thank you that I have taken this road. I thank you for those things that are in the past. I thank you that these decisions have been made and you have blessed them. But sometimes I look in the rearview mirror, that's harder to say than you think, and I look at it with regret. I look at it with, why did I do that? Why did I make that choice? Why didn't I make that other choice? And so today we're talking about, and Evan's already gave you a hint to it in his scripture reading during the offering. We're talking about the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. And as soon as I said that, and your mind comprehended what I just said, I want to guess that your mind went negative. Your mind and your thoughts went to the negative realm of sowing and reaping. But my emphasis today and God's emphasis today is not about the things that you have already done. The emphasis today is not on the rear view mirror on things that you cannot change. The emphasis, I believe, and it's important this morning, and here is a key point. In the army, when they would teach you, and then there's going to be a test question, they would stomp their foot, you know. And every time they stomp their foot, you say, oh, what did he just say? That's a test question, you know. And so here, this is a test question. It's important. We've got to realize where we are in our car now, today, this spot, this location. And it's important to stop. Stop traveling for just a second. And realize where you are today. What is the place you're at today? Because you realize tomorrow, today is going to be in the rearview mirror. So the emphasis is not on your past this morning. The emphasis is on today and the location that you're at. Because this place will be the past. We will be reaping what we sow. We will be reaping tomorrow what we sow today. So the decisions that we make, the roads that we take, the spot that we're at, the words that we speak, the choices now, tomorrow, when I look back on today, I'm either going to look at it again with gratitude. Lord, thank you for helping me make those choices that I made right now in this spot. Or we're going to look back on it with regret. We talk a lot, and I say we, but I say this a lot, and I think I hear other people saying it a lot, that hindsight is 20/20. Have you heard that, or is that just me? Okay, yeah. Hindsight's 20/20. And when we say that, Sam, it's normally a negative connotation, meaning that there's a little bit of regret there. I wish I'd have made that choice or not made that choice. And if I'd have known then what I know now, I would have done things different. Hindsight is 20/20. And we keep talking about hindsight being 20/20. Let me introduce to you today the possibility that we need to quit saying that and we need to start concentrating on our foresight. Instead of living in our past, instead of living in the rearview mirror, instead of living with regrets, possibly, let us concentrate and learn how to use our God-given wisdom to use foresight, knowing that the choices we make today, the choices I make at this spot, the choices I make during this situation will soon be in my rearview mirror. And I will be reaping what I sow then. In the army, and I may have this wrong, I meant to fact check it and I didn't, but they taught us in flight school, there's three types of vision. And those that are in the medical field that may know this, or if there's any optometrists listening, I apologize, but there's photopic vision. Photopic vision is what we're using right now, and I don't know if that's rods or cones, but we're using something, and we have sharp images. Most of us do anyway if you're under 50. You have sharp images. You can see colors. We can see definitions and stuff like that. That's called photopic vision, and that's very good. The Army says, look, you're flying around during the day in your helicopter, photopic vision. But be careful because there's nighttime, and at nighttime we go to, I think it's called scotopic vision. And we go from, now they're black and gray and shades of gray and shades of black, and the definition is not quite there, and we're using rods instead of cones or vice versa, and we're using a different part of our eye. But they teach you, you know, obviously, flying at night, driving at night, okay, is different during the day than it is at night. But do you know when most accidents happen? in between, what'd you say? Yeah, the transition periods. And so we got photopic right now, scotopic, which I think is nighttime, and then mesopic, which is a combination of day and night vision. It's when it's just getting daylight, it's dark, and it's just getting daylight, or it's daylight and it's just getting dark, and your eye is making that transition to your vision, and that's when we tend to make mistakes. Friends, let me suggest to you this has a spiritual application today. Because when we're in the Word, our relationship with Christ is there. We have a short account with God as far as sin is concerned. We're in the Word. We're walking in the Spirit. Have you heard that in the book of Galatians? Okay. We're walking in the Spirit. We're sowing seeds to the Spirit. We're doing that photopic vision. Things are clear. Things are happy. I can see. And then even when darkness comes and the enemy attacks, it's so clear to see that at nighttime. But it's that in-between time when we're not living for the world. We're not out sowing wild oats and sowing to the flesh and all these sins that you might want to list. But at the same time, we're not in the proper relationship with Christ. We're in this in-between period. And that's when we're most vulnerable to make mistakes. That being said, let's move on. Hindsight is 20/20, but let's work on our foresight. We must learn to discipline ourselves and to stop and ask this. Stop and ask this. What choice, the choices that I make today, the things I say, the things I do, building into people or not building into people, the things, the roads that I do today, what will I think about them tomorrow? What will I think about them tomorrow? And we need to use wisdom and learn how to use foresight as into what we do today will affect tomorrow. I heard an author say that she did not like writing. What? How can an author, a person who writes many books, as a matter of fact, how can they not writing? And she said, I don't like writing. I like have written. Is that proper English? I like to have written. So she likes the feeling of the accomplishment of it being done. She doesn't like the drudgery of sitting down and actually doing the task of writing a book. She does not like writing, but when it's over, she likes having written. And there's so many life applications to that, friends. So many things in life that are not necessarily pleasant, not necessarily what we enjoy doing. They don't necessarily feel good at the moment, but yet tomorrow when we look back on them, we will be glad. Because many things that we do are hard. A lot of things that sowing into the spirit are laborious. Sometimes they're irksome, and be honest with you, we even hate doing some of them. See, so often I live, and I'll just speak to me, and if it touches you, so be it. But so often I live for the moment. I take the easy way instead of the proper way. I do what feels good. I do what I enjoy. I do what's fun. Perhaps I even am lazy at times, only later to look in the rearview mirror and say, I probably didn't handle that the best way that I could have. I told you this was positive, and it is. In our text today, we're going to look at Galatians 6, 7. We'll start with Galatians 6, verse 7. It says this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So Paul's using a metaphor here, and this metaphor of sowing and reaping is going to help us concrete what Paul is saying to these Galatians in this letter. Now remember, this is one letter. This is Paul's message to these churches there in this region. And so there's a lot of good sermons, and I've heard a lot of good sermons. I've even taught one or two lessons or sermons on sowing and reaping. But today, and it's all through the Bible, it's used all through the Bible, sowing and reaping. And it's a law of God that cannot be navigated away from. Just like gravity, if you fall off your roof while putting on shingles halfway down to the ground, you can't say, I'm not going to participate in gravity. All right, you're going to hit the ground. The same way with sowing and reaping. But today we're going to stay right here in Galatians, and we're going to glean just from Galatians Paul's immediate thought of what he's trying to say here of reaping and sowing. You know, if I want a garden fresh tomato, if I want to eat a fresh tomato, if I want to eat a fresh mater from my garden, I have to have done something about 2 months prior to that. I have to sow that seed. I have to plant that plant. I have to water it, all right, and trust in God's sunshine to raise that tomato. So just as if you want, the only way to have a fresh tomato from your garden is to have worked earlier, to have made decisions earlier, to plant it earlier. The same is true spiritually. And like I said, it may be planting that tomato is irksome, maybe it's bothersome, maybe you don't enjoy it, but you know that if I do this, if I take time to put in this garden, if I take time to put in these seeds, if I take time to water and care for these, in the future, I will reap the benefits of eating a fresh mater from my garden. Scripture says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. If you want a good harvest, you've got to plant the correct seeds. You don't plant corn seeds if you want to eat fresh tomatoes. You don't plant briars if you want fresh fruit. What you plant is what you sow. What you plant is what you sow, and it's also what you reap. Paul's message here, don't forget, is warning the churches here about false teachers and how they've come with this Jesus plus message. Oh, you've received Jesus? That's good. But to be a true Christian, to be truly accepted by God, okay, these Judaizers are saying, you have to do this extra stuff. You have to be circumcised. You have to celebrate these certain days and feasts. You have to eat and not eat and follow the law. And that adding to this gospel, adding to this Jesus 2.0 type thing, is sowing to the flesh. It is not sowing to the Spirit. You will reap what you sow. Let's continue on, verse 8. For he who sows, again, going on with this metaphor, he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Of all the seeds to sow, God has made it very easy for us this morning. He's made it very clear for us this morning. There's two types of seeds. We can sow seeds into the flesh, or we can sow seeds into the Spirit. And if we sow to the flesh, it's going to yield what? Corruption. Now that's pretty bad right there, corruption. Nobody likes corruption. But really, let's read the rest of it. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? This has eternal consequences. This is not just about eating tomatoes. This is not just about taking a road or not taking a road and regretting it in the past. This has eternal, eternal consequences because it reveals your heart. In chapter 5, if we sow to corruption, if we sow to the flesh, look at 5 right quick. Chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. We taught on this earlier. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Now these are fruit. Okay, this is fruit from a seed that has been planted. Okay? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. So the choices that I make, if I'm sowing into the flesh, this is kind of, instead of the fruit of the Spirit, which we're getting to in a moment, this is the fruit of the flesh, if I may put it that way. So to the flesh, just like the world, all right, these Judaizers, the world is sowing to the flesh. They have no mind for Christ. They don't care about Christ. They don't care if there's a judgment day coming. They don't believe there's even a God. They live and let live, and they do what feels good all the time, and they're there to please themselves. And as bad as that is, and we can think that's bad, equally as bad are those Christians, those Judaizers in Paul's day that is adding to the gospel. And friends, we have the same thing today, and I make no apologies. We have preachers all over TV, that are adding to the gospels. And if you're truly saved, then I want to see your spiritual gift. You know, and I have a dear friend, a dear, dear friend who got saved in the Foursquare Church. And this is an extreme example. I do understand this. He got saved in the Foursquare Church up in Oregon while he was in college. And he came down and he heard the message of Christ and got saved. Amen. He came down at the end and accepted Christ as his Savior. And immediately after the service, he was whisked away to the elders. And they said, take off your glasses. And he says, what? And they said, you're saved, believed, you are healed, not just spiritually, but physically. Take off your glasses. And they demanded that he walk around and not wear his glasses and try to read and not wear his glasses. See, that is just as bad as the world. But I digress tremendously. But if we sow toxic seed, friends, we're going to reap a toxic harvest. If we sow enmity and strife and jealousy and anger and dissensions and divisions and all this stuff, it's to the flesh, just like the world does to the flesh. And so we have enemies, you know, out in the world, which we can easily identify, photopic, scotopic. But there's enemies within us. There's false teachers. There's Judaizers right here in Scripture, mesopic. Where they're almost Christian, they're almost night, they're almost day, but they're not quite one way or the other. And that's where we can so easily get in trouble. So toxic seed, toxic fruit. So good seed, good fruit. Paul says, sow spiritual seeds. Paul is saying, sow to the Spirit. How, Paul? How do I sow to the Spirit? The whole book of Galatians has told us how to sow to the Spirit. It says you got to die to yourself. Just like in baptism, when you go down, you die to yourself. You're a new creation. You are to believe. Remember all those stories about Abraham? Okay, so it is justification by faith, our faith in God, through His grace, only because of His grace, nothing we can add to, nothing we can earn, Christ alone. Our faith in God, only by His grace in Christ, plus or minus nothing. But then if you remember the last couple of sermons and even the whole book of Galatians, the great commandment is what? Love the Lord your God and love other people. Love other people. Love God love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so this great commandment of loving God and loving others, in the last week or so, talking about bearing their burdens. I think Daniel spoke of that last week. Bear each other's burdens. This is the spiritual seed we need to sow, walking out our faith. And in doing this, in walking out our faith and sowing spiritual seeds, in fulfilling this great commandment, we will have eternal life. Verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Again, this law of sowing and reaping is you always reap after a season. Sowing always comes first. Reaping always comes second. Very elementary, I do realize. I am not talking down to you. But it says, do not grow weary. Do not give up. Now, there's a caution here that if you just took my sermon by itself and you didn't know my teachings, you know, throughout the book of Galatians, or you didn't know the Bible, that we're going to start getting confused with works and faith, right? And that's what the whole book is. We don't earn our faith. We don't earn our relationship with God through our works, but our relationship with God will produce works. And so walking out our faith, this relationship in faith leads to our works and produces fruit. What kind of fruit? Remember, and we skimmed over it a little bit in Galatians 5, and we need to go back and just preach this hard. But in Galatians 5, 22, 23, this is the fruit, this is the fruit you will glean, this is the fruit you will harvest, if you plant spiritual seeds, if you love God, if you love others, if you put others ahead of yourself, if you get away from this me, 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 I condition, and love God and love others, the fruit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. There is no law. Spiritual fruit. We get to participate with the Holy Spirit in sowing spiritual seeds. We get to participate with the Holy Spirit sowing these seeds of new life, pun intended. New life, hope, love to a hurting and dying and distressed world. Seeds of hope. Sharing the light of Christ. So it says, do not grow weary, because in due season you will reap that harvest. Again, and I say again, maybe I haven't said this yet. Everyone is sowing. Everyone is sowing. Not me, brother. I'm sitting on my couch not doing nothing. That's sowing. You know, my father-in-law likes to say, and he'll never hear this, but I hope he does. You know, he says, God's called me here and put me here on this earth and let me live this long because he's got a specific task for me. So I'm trying to do as little as I can so I can live longer. Tongue in cheek. But all of us are sowing seeds. Whether they're seeds to the flesh or whether they're seeds to the Spirit. Don't forget, the spot where you are today, tomorrow you will look back in your rear view mirror and you'll say, I'm glad I made those choices. Or you'll say, I could have done things a little different. Verse 10, Galatians 6, 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and friends, there's lots of opportunity. Let us do good to all. Do good to who? Thank you. But especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do good to all. We are to be new life people planting new life seeds, pun intended. You know, sowing to the Spirit. Not self-absorbed, not looking out, you know, for myself. And number, you know, I'm number one, I'm going to take care of myself. But looking to others, and just as Christ did, building into others, speaking life into others. And those of you, you know, that have volunteered to provide, you know, a meal for Summer's family tomorrow, that little thing of giving food to a family in distress, giving wipes or baby needs or money to Ty and his family outside of our household of faith. These are spiritual seeds. Again, be assured the seeds you sow today is the fruit you will eat tomorrow. Now, many of you hadn't hardly heard a word I said because immediately, and let's just get, don't do that. I'm putting my glasses here all the time. Let's just get honest for a second. As soon as I started talking about sowing and reaping, the enemy came in to your mind. And he started playing in your mind about bad decisions you've made. And he brought to mind your children, your grandchildren, your marriages, your relationship with your parents, your brothers, your sisters. Normally they have to do with people. Now sometimes they have to do with careers and stuff like that, but not really. Those are all just hay, wood, and stubble, okay? It's the relationships where you have failed at. And then you look at your rearview mirror, somebody is bringing condemnation to you. And they're saying you're useless. You're unworthy. You call yourself a Christian. Look at your past. Look in the rearview mirror. You're a failure. Who's saying that to you? Is it Christ? Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation in Christ to those that are called. So that is Satan. So that's why this is positive. Yes, there are consequences of what the choices we've made in our past, but the past is in the past, and all we can do is lay them at the foot of the cross. All we can do is just cry out to God and thank Him that we're here today and we have a new heart. Yes, I used to live like this. Yes, this used to be vindicative of the way I made choices, and I wasn't real smart. I was not using wisdom then. I am so guilty of that. But today is not that case. God has put within me a new heart. God has given me a new mind to look forward and to have foresight, and knowing that the choices that I make today, yes, will affect what happens tomorrow. But I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me, for justifying me, for sanctifying me. So do not be condemned. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Friends, you walk according to the Spirit. If you are a born-again Christian, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior and your Lord, I want you, you can't forget about the past. You're having to live with those consequences. I do realize that, but He don't want you to concentrate on the past. Satan wants you to concentrate on the past. God wants to give you victory. God wants you to walk victoriously. God wants you to walk in the Spirit. God wants you to sow spiritual seeds today in victory that's only available. And here's the good news: through this relationship with Him, He wants you victorious. He wants you to feel loved. He wants you to feel cared for. But TV and social media and news and family even, and friends even, so-called friends, give us ample reason and to promote this sowing of the flesh and just to defeat us. But God, the Holy Spirit, the still small voice, gentle and quiet inside me, leading and guiding me to walk in the Spirit, to sow spiritual seeds. And in so doing, sowing these spiritual seeds, I will reap eternal life. So I just have a couple of questions in closing. What seeds are you sowing today? God would have you to look in the mirror of His Word even, and answer these questions honestly, just between you and He. What seeds are you sowing today? With your spouse? With your children? With your brothers and sisters? With your workers and fellow schoolmates, with your friends? What seeds are you sowing? Are they seeds of the flesh or are they seeds of the Spirit? Again, no condemnation, but I need to ask you this. Are you blaming God for the harvest that you're reaping when you never really even went to Him during the time of sowing? If I don't step on your toes, nothing will. Is Anthony blaming God for the harvest that he's reaping, forgetting that I never consulted him when I sowed? See, that could be put so negative, but actually it's not negative. It's for me to realize, it's for me to stop and realize where I'm at today. And the choices I make today, maybe all of us need to knock a rearview mirror off like Robert has. Can't find it. No idea where it is. He's not going to be happy. What about your attitude? What about your attitude to others outside of the church? And how about your attitude to those of the household of faith? You know, sometimes, I did not mean to say this, but sometimes I'm more tolerant of those outside the church than I am of y'all. Sorry. Truth hurts sometimes. Because I hold you to a higher standard. That's why, to be honest with you. And you need to be holding me to a higher standard. Let me encourage you to use your God-given wisdom. We have wisdom. This Bible, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. This book is full of wisdom, okay? Let's use wisdom, friends, this week. Larry, you and the band can come. Let's use wisdom this week to look forward, to work on our foresight, okay? That when we make a choice, we don't just do a little knee-jerk reaction and make a choice just like the world would. Let us make choices. Let us sow spiritual seeds that when we look in the rearview mirror tomorrow, we'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are so faithful to me in helping me to make good decisions. I am a sinner. I am saved by grace, but I'm also a child of God. And you've given me the Holy Spirit to live within me, to help me make good choices. Not an animal. I don't work by instincts. I work by the Spirit of God that lives within me. And I know that greater is He that is in me than He is in the world. And so I can't wear the t-shirt that says the devil made me do it. The devil has made you do nothing. He has tempted you. But friend, you chose to make that choice. Let's walk in victory. I know there's hurtful past. I know. And I just know a small part of your life. As you know how much of your life that I know about you. I know a small part of your hurt. God knows it all. Take that hurt to God this morning. Take that hurt to your Father this morning and pray that help me, Lord Jesus, to sow spiritual seeds.